Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Embodied Self-Awakening, Somatic Practices for Trauma Healing and Spiritual Evolution by Nitita Giselle. Narrated by Jair Bush. Publisher's note. This audiobook contains meditation prompts. Please pause your listening to complete the meditations. Publisher's note. This audiobook includes bonus material. Please visit tantor.com and type Embodied Self-Awakening into the search box. Follow the link to the book's page. Then, under the supplemental content section, please enter the access code FREEDOM. And then, click the unlock button to access the bonus material. The code should be entered in all lowercase letters. All figures accompanying in this audiobook can be found in the bonus material. Forward. Your energy introduces you before you even speak. Maya Angelou. When I read these precious and beautiful words from Maya Angelou, they always remind me of my dear friend and amazing colleague, Nitita Giselle. They are a reminder to me that our healing is not separate from those we hold space for, but that we do have a responsibility to tend to our nervous systems with care and compassion so we can cultivate a safe and trauma-informed container for all those who have trusted us with their hearts. As Nitita so breathtakingly reminds us in the journey of her book, there is no need to rush off toward enlightenment before we've done the work to care for our own shadows. She takes us on a deep spiritual journey where there are no quick fixes, lists, or shortcuts. Instead, there is a gentle presence that compassionately invites us to tend to our pain with compassion and grace. She empowers us to follow the unique pace of our own nervous systems and find our pathway to embodied ease. She gives us permission to connect to our joy. She reminds us that we are worthy of gentleness, softness, and space in the healing process, and reminds us to pour into ourselves the way we so freely pour into others. She shines a light on the healing path and helps us see and uncover our own radiance. I still remember traveling to Austin from Los Angeles to attend Nitita's 4-day trauma-conscious yoga certification training. I was coming at a particularly tender time where I had been overscheduled, overextended, exhausted, and living in survival mode for longer than I would like to admit. I felt deeply called to attend her training and share space with her, and I knew that even amid all of the barriers to getting there, I would make it happen. Everything in my body was telling me that I needed to go. I arrived late, rushing in with my coffee in hand, and immediately felt at ease when I found my space in the yoga studio, in the beautiful container she had created for the weekend. In the first few minutes of hearing her speak, I felt both captivated and held. To witness another woman of color and trauma-informed yoga trainer in a field that is dominated by white male researchers stand in her truth and power was a deeply healing and affirming experience for me. That weekend, I cried, laughed, rested, and could physically feel parts of myself that were softening and unfolding. She held space for the various intersections of my lived experience without ever making me feel like there was something wrong with me. Instead, she shined a light on the pieces that felt broken and reminded me that I was inherently whole. She helped me remember that I was my own greatest teacher and that I could trust my needs and be reminded that those needs matter. We must never underestimate the power of reminding a survivor about the choices they have with their own bodies. The weekend left me speechless and broke my heart wide open. To now see her take her teachings pen to paper, where the entire world can access her magic, is honestly the greatest gift. The world needs this healing now more than ever. Just listening to this book is a healing and transformative experience because it invites us into the full senses of our mind, body, and spirit. We cannot compartmentalize the way humans experience trauma, and we are worthy of teachers, healers, and practitioners who understand the impact that trauma has on the nervous system. Nitita is like a close companion, reminding us that we are never alone in our experience. She is there as a mirror in healing, helping us feel seen and enough, a steady and safe anchor, and a wise, embodied teacher who has walked the spiritual path of somatics and has turned her pain into medicine. She thoughtfully reminds us that we are worthy of releasing the grip and of giving our bodies the space they deserve to heal, exist, and be free. Nitita reminds us that when we heal, we increase the capacity of our nervous system, which allows us to not be hijacked by what we have endured. Instead, we learn how to befriend all parts of ourselves. This is the journey towards radical self-compassion. Nitita's work is a reminder that you are worthy of your own healing, care, energy, time, and affection. Reading her own story in the book, which she so courageously shares with us, made me pause as the tears streamed down my face. I rested my palms over my heart and felt so much awe and gratitude for this woman who has lit the pathway for those who can't see it themselves. Nitita weaves neuroscience, somatic psychotherapy, Buddhist philosophy, an understanding of intergenerational and systemic trauma, somatic therapy skills, indigenous African healing practices, social justice frameworks, polyvagal theory, and body-centered practices to create a comprehensive and one-of-a-kind guide for all the brave souls who have opened themselves up to this journey. The various intersections of Nitita's experience and practice as a woman of color, a healer, a mother, a trauma-informed yoga instructor and trainer, and a somatic psychotherapist, just a few of the many incredible roles that she holds, allow her to be the perfect person to teach embodied self-awakening and fill a gap in the stories the world needs to hear and have access to. This book is a remembrance and an embodied path, reminding us that we are worthy of returning home to ourselves at our own pace. It is a reminder to stay curious about our pain and to give all parts of ourselves a fair chance. This book will change and heal the lives of so many trauma survivors and healing practitioners. I am not the same person I was when I started this book. It has created little ripples of healing and pockets of awareness that have revealed themselves in their own time. What a gift. Zabia A. Yamasaki, MEDRYT, author of Trauma-Informed Yoga for Survivors of Sexual Assault, Practices for Healing and Teaching with Compassion, and Trauma-Informed Yoga Affirmation Card Deck. ZabiYamasaki.com, IG at transcending_trauma_with_yoga. Introduction. I invite you to press your feet into the earth, sitting or standing. It doesn't matter where you are, outdoors or indoors, you are in the right place. Releasing the tension from the feet into the earth, I invite you to take a moment to consciously slow down, to pause, to be. Take some time here. Notice. What are you noticing? A passing thought? Many thoughts? Are there any feelings or emotions present right now? Physical sensations? There is no wrong or right here. no binary measure to determine your value or worthiness as a human. What you notice is what is right now. Can you witness what is happening inside without turning away? Can you acknowledge what you witness inside, maybe even send it compassion, perhaps even gratitude, if it feels authentic? There is no need to be here long. A single moment of inner inquiry is a step forward along your path. So, when it feels complete, soften your feet into the earth once more. And if your eyes were closed, take your time to blink them awake. This book is an offering to be with and to turn toward that from which we instinctively retreat or pull away. We've learned how to push down our pain, deny its presence, mask it with a pill, or rush to move on. It's our survival instinct as survivors of trauma to run from or fight against that which ails us. Yet, when we fight against our internal turmoil, any glimmers of peace we experience are short-lived. Pushing the pain away isn't a lasting solution because trauma is held in the body. We carry it with us. When we push the pain away and turn a blind eye to the suffering happening directly inside us, we miss out on the opportunity to get the most out of this precious life. We miss out on the joy and the freedom that comes with awakening. Before we heal, when we look out into the world, what we see is our own trauma reflected back at us. When we heal, we begin to see things more clearly. We're not activated or hijacked by our nervous systems as easily, and we begin to feel more comfortable in our bodies, more at peace, and more free in our lives. In my work as a somatic psychotherapist and yoga teacher specializing in trauma healing, I found again and again that the path of trauma healing and the path of spiritual evolution are one and the same. When we make the choice to intentionally heal from the traumas of our past, we wake up to our true nature, who we are in our truth when we free ourselves from our conditioning and the aspects of our personality that were born from our wounds. Our true nature is who we are in the depths of our being. When we extract the pain and trauma of a dark, unpleasant past, whether our own or that of our ancestors, if we can make the choice to turn toward our pain and get to know it in a caring, compassionate way, liberation is on the other side. Awakening is a heart-centered endeavor, one in which disembodiment is remedied as we reconnect our minds to our hearts. On this journey, we lean in and get close to the parts of us that block self-compassion, befriending these parts and giving them what they need so that the burdens they've been carrying release organically. There is something in each of us that cannot be damaged by trauma, and it's this inner resource that is our greatest refuge and support along this healing journey. I am in no way encouraging you to celebrate your trauma or saying that you should be wearing it like a badge of honor. That is contrary to what I am offering here. I am offering that since life brings joy, yet also brings pain, we can allow our pain to alchemize us and help us become more free. Pain can be something we turn toward. Pain can be a portal for awakening. The approach. This book is here to help you heal, awaken, and feel more free in your life. In this book, I share the teachings and methods that have supported my own personal evolution, as well as those that have brought the most profound transformation to the psychotherapy clients I see. This book offers a bridge between East and West, marrying the wisdom of Buddhist psychology, yogic teachings, and indigenous insights with somatic psychotherapy and modern neuroscience. This book is meant to be accessible to all people, regardless of religious affiliation. As Westerners, we may best conceptualize Buddhism as a holistic psychology as opposed to a religion. And for this reason, for decades, many Western mental health professionals have turned to Buddhism as a means for understanding the human body-mind when devising interventions for supporting various mental health conditions, from anxiety to depression to trauma. As will be discussed, in Buddhism, most everything external is a metaphor for one's own mind, an outer reflection of one's inner landscape. In reality, there isn't any model of Western psychotherapy that hasn't drawn from indigenous or Eastern thought. Mindfulness is at the heart of most modern psychotherapies, from cognitive behavioral therapy to eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, EMDR, to internal family systems, IFS therapy, to Hakomi and somatic experiencing, SE. Mindfulness comes from Buddhism. It was a direct teaching of the Buddha. The primary model of somatic psychotherapy that you'll get to explore in this book comes from the IFS model, which holds both indigenous and Eastern influence. The practices in this book are somatic and ancestral. When you connect to your body and go inward to practice them, don't be surprised if you are met with a warm familiarity. The wisdom of awakening is in our blood. Returning to this wisdom within our bodies, we find that we've never left home. How to use this book. The embodiment practices and insight I offer in this text build upon one another. So while the healing journey is far from linear, I do offer that you navigate these chapters in the order they are presented. However, there is a caveat. The appendices provide resources to be explored at any time as you make your way through this book. If diaphragmatic breathing, the foundation of all the embodiment practices, is new to you, or you could use a refresher, Appendix A provides a tutorial offering a yogic breath practice called Ujjayi Pranayama, Victorious Breath. If you are someone who finds breath work activating as opposed to relaxing, Appendix B offers you alternatives and encouragement. Appendix C is there for you if you're ever feeling a need to temporarily contain or put away an emotional experience for a time. The embodiment practices in this text are meant to be lifelong resources. They are ones to return to again and again and make a part of your regular practice if you choose. The light in you is what got you here. I am grateful for you and your curiosity, your yearning for more from this life. Let's again pause and drop in, landing our conscious awareness inside our bodies. Allow yourself a moment to pause and check in. What does your body need from you right now? Movement? Allow yourself to move. Rest? Is rest something you can embrace right now? Does your body need you to listen? Can you open your heart and do so? Breathe slowly. Move gracefully. There is no rush to be anywhere. The journey itself is the medicine. May this book be of benefit. 1. Beyond Survival, Bringing Our Pain Onto the Path. Pain is also a vehicle of knowledge. It might very well be knowledge itself. Ocean Vuong, Getting Close to the Terra with Ocean Vuong. The seeds of awakening are planted within each one of us. Though we may confuse our pain and the traumas we've survived for our identity, wakefulness is our natural state. Before we arrived here, our parents and society at large decided for us who we were supposed to be. But they too, more than likely, misidentified with their pain and were somewhat disconnected from their true nature. Asleep to the truth within and around them, the narratives they projected onto us were also false. Yet, on some level, we believed them. And now we're still carrying the baggage. Not only in childhood, but as adults, we've survived quite a lot. Regardless of our personal trauma history, simply living in a society where the collective burdens of white body supremacy, the cis-hetero patriarchy, and capitalism continue to violate the humanity of so many, we are all harmed in our own way. It can become so painful inside that it's far easier to focus outward, and we become more and more distanced from our truth over time. But there is hope for us. Pain and trauma do not halt our personal evolution or spiritual progression. They provide us an opportunity to wake up all the more. This involves doing something different amid the cultural norms of repressing what feels unbearable and inevitably taking out our pain on others. Instead, bringing our pain onto the path, we make a conscious effort to be with our pain in a compassionate way in which we not only heal it, but evolve from it. When we push the unpleasant down and out of our awareness, we are making a choice not to see, to turn a blind eye to the suffering happening directly inside of us. When we turn away from the pain inside, we then replicate this pattern with the pain happening around us. We block it out. We put a veil of protection over our eyes, choosing not to look at the reality of our world within and outside ourselves. This form of denial is cultural and has contributed to the collective trauma that pervades our society. There is another option, the one offered in this book. It is an option infused with radical compassion where we turn toward what hurts deep within. This option lends itself to spaciousness, peace within, deep healing, and, in the end, freedom. The thought of being with pain, memory, and leftover trauma stored in the body can feel scary or overwhelming, but there is a way to do this that is compassionate and that works with the pace of each unique nervous system. Lifting the veil happens gradually, over time. Awakening, the process of seeing clearly again, of returning to our true nature, is skillful and sacred, not to be rushed. It's liberative. The first step along our path of awakening involves becoming embodied. Without embodiment, we lose our connection to the present moment, and we can't then do the spiritual work to awaken. Embodiment arrives with a conscious connection to the body, joined by the capacity to effectively regulate our nervous system and stay present with the body, regardless of whether what we experience in the body is pleasurable, painful, or something else altogether. We maintain the ability to stay with the experience in the body without going into a trauma response such as fight, flight, freeze, or shut down. As trauma survivors, the obstacle here is that trauma takes us out of the body, resulting in disembodiment. Trauma and disembodiment. We'll expand on the definition of trauma as we continue along this journey together, but for now, trauma can be understood in two dimensions. First, trauma can be that which is too much, too fast, too soon, meaning our nervous systems are unable to cope with the stimuli being thrown their way. Second, trauma can be described as too little for too long, meaning our basic human and spiritual needs are not being met by our environment. In response, our nervous systems begin to quiet and shut down for our own survival. During trauma, our bodies are active, our nervous systems running the show in their best attempts to ensure our survival. However, we tend to be disconnected from our bodies and what is happening inside because experiences of trauma overwhelm our ability to stay embodied and present. Embodiment, on the other hand, is safety inside. With embodiment, we recognize our bodies, our hearts, as home. Embodiment is a grounded and calm sense of ease that allows us the capacity to open our hearts and pour compassion inward and outward. But trauma creates a barrier here. Trauma lends itself to disembodiment. Trauma propels our bodies into survival mode. We may experience a nervous system state of upregulation, fight, flight, or active freeze. With the blood rushing to our arms and legs, we may be compelled to literally fight or run, and if we are unable to do so successfully, our bodies may freeze while all the chemicals and adrenaline of fight or flight continue to percolate inside. In the long term, we may be hypervigilant with fear of a looming threat or danger, anxious with racing thoughts, or may experience physical sensations that present a sense of dis-ease in the body. Rather than upregulation, what we experience may be a nervous system state of downregulation, freeze with collapse, one where we are hypovigilant, shut down, numb, distanced, detached, emotionally collapsed, or immobilized. While our bodies take us into these extreme nervous system states in their attempt to keep us alive, it is not safe, nor is life as satisfying when we are stuck in one of these extreme states long term. It is natural that we will experience moments of dysregulation on any given day because life brings the unexpected or unpleasant our way, and that's okay. However, being in one of these extreme states long term leads to disembodiment. Disembodiment is disconnection, and disconnection leads to dissatisfaction. Disconnected from the world within and around us, we get a sense that something is missing from this life. A spiritual crisis of some kind results. Talia, she/her, was a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, CSA. To survive the decades of horror that colored her past, parts of Talia had removed her awareness from her body to keep her safe, to make the abuse she endured less painful and the knowing that it would happen again less real. The survival strategy Talia's body chose protected her in childhood. While it didn't prevent the abuse from occurring, it distanced her slightly from the reality of it. Now an adult, Talia entered therapy because she desperately wanted love and a lifelong partner, but she was struggling to exist from day to day. As our nervous system has no concept of time, Talia's body responded to daily interactions as though the abuse of her childhood was still looming around the corner. A glance from a stranger in the grocery store could send her body into an upregulated state of fight or flight, and she feared for her safety and life. When attempting to be intimate with a romantic interest, her body would send her into a down-regulated state of freeze with collapse. She would disassociate, check out, and leave her body, and this would, in her words, freak out her romantic interests. They would leave, never to talk to her again. Memories of abandonment from her childhood, stored in her body, often rushed to the surface. Talia was often left feeling numb, depressed, alone, and unlovable. Hopelessness and purposelessness marked Talia's daily experience. Talia described feeling disconnected from life, like an observer rather than a participant. Healing trauma and returning home. The body is the vehicle that lands our soul here in this earthly realm. Through our body, we experience our humanity. Through our body, we access our capacity for awakening. Healing trauma and the wounds of our past is both a spiritual endeavor and one in which the body and our connection to it is vital. Home is in the body. Disembodiment is a disconnect from our body home. With it, we struggle to feel comfortable in our own.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?